learned that. Brother Briley's singing reminds me so much of Brother Raymond King. And Brother Raymond was a great blessing. He's with the Lord now. 2 Kings chapter 7 tonight. You don't have to stand. If you want to, you can. But I'm going to read the whole chapter, which is 20 verses. But I'm a fast reader. But I must read this in order to get the message across. I used to would try not to do that. And I was in a camp meeting, and I was going to preach out of 1 Kings 17, and I really needed the whole chapter, but I was thinking I only had 30 minutes anyway, so I was trying to figure out what to cut out, and the Lord impressed upon me so strongly, and he said, if you're going to cut any words out, cut yours out, not mine. And so ever since then, I've been trying to read what God wants me to read. Okay, 2 Kings chapter 7, then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. And then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. But there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? And if we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. And if they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians, and when they were come to the utmost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they rose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these leopards came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. And they said one to another, we do not wail. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief shall come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of men, but horses tied, asses tied, the tents are there, were. And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. And the king arose in the night and said unto his servants, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry, therefore are they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. And one of the servants answered and said, let some take, I pray thee, five of the horses that remain, which are left in the city. Behold, there are as all the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say that they are even as all the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed. And let us send and see. And they took therefore two chariot horses, and the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, go and see. And they went after them unto Jordan. And lo, all the way was full of garments, vessels, which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned to have the charge of the gate. And the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died. And as the man of God had said, who shall spake when the king came down to him? And it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, two measures of barley for shekel, measure of fine flour for shekel, shall be tomorrow about this time in the gates of Samaria. And the Lord, that Lord, answered the man of God and said, Now, behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, might such a thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. And so it fell out unto him, for the people trode upon him in the gate, and he died. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the reading of God's word. We're thankful we have God's word tonight. And Father, we're thankful tonight for all that you've set before us tonight, Lord. Many, many more than I deserve to even try to preach to. Lord, thank you for these preachers that you put in the room tonight because they know how it feels to stand where I stand. And God, we ask you tonight, Lord, to open up, Lord, the Word of God to us. And Lord, there's something in here you want us to see tonight. And may we see it, may we grasp it tonight. Lord, it probably won't change everybody's life in here tonight, but if it'd change one, it'd be worth it. And we know that God is able to do that. And Lord, forgive me of my sins and failures, many, many shortcomings, but I'm thankful I have a God that's able to make up the difference. And I pray you'll help me tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated now if you want to. This is a story of four men who were willing to take a chance. And it paid off. And they was willing to take a chance on God. And it paid off. And I wish somebody tonight would be willing to take a chance on God. Because it's never a chance when God is involved. I want to look here tonight at four things in the text tonight. The Lord will help me this evening. And you know, there's so many people that they know what God's Word says and what God promises to do, but they're not willing to take a chance. And I'd like to ask you tonight, what do you got to lose? Amen. If you're lost tonight, you're going to hell anyway. What have you got to lose? Amen. If you're not living tonight in the will of God and you're not living tonight that victorious Christian life, you've never surrendered it all to the Lord as far as humanly possible to do, won't you try it? What have you got to miss? What have you got to lose? Hey, tonight, if you're not happy with your life tonight, you've had it forever how many years you've been living, you've had your life. You've not done too good with it. You're not happy with the way things have been. Won't you give what's left to God? What you got to lose? Amen. It's already a mess. What you got to lose? Won't you just throw it all on God? Amen. We read here in this story tonight, we find out the Bible said in verse 25, that chapter 6, there was a great famine in the land. Can I tell you that faith never flourishes in the plenty? Faith only flourishes in the famine. You see, the famine is what gives opportunity for faith to be stepped out on. And here was four leprous men. And the times were bad. You say, it's bad now. Well, I won't tell you what I think tonight. I can't believe it's as good as it is, as bad as it is. Amen. And it's only because of God's blessing tonight. Amen. I know it's bad up in Washington, it's bad other places, but it's still pretty good around the house of God, amen. I'm glad that God is a God that likes to flourish in the famine, amen. God is a God that likes for times to get as bad as they can get, so God can show how good that God is, amen. How great that God is. I'm persuaded of this truth that your God and my God is way too small in our thinking, in our mind. Amen. This week, I running around trying to check on motel rooms and I went down there and the lady told me they was going to double from what they had been for the last 2 years. She was going from $60 a night to $120 a night. And I got to tell you, I kind of panicked when she told me that. I kind of groped through the day for a little while, all at once it dawned on me. If your God ain't big enough to make up $60 more, you need another God. Amen. I'm glad that God is able to supply whatever it is that we need. I tell you, God, he can float a battleship or God can float a raft, ever which one you want to push out. Amen. I'm telling tonight that our God is too small. Amen. It's like we're afraid to ask God for anything big, but he's a big God. I know it's got to be in the will of the Lord and led of the Holy Spirit of God. But if God leads you to ask some big thing, don't be afraid of God. Amen. Amen. I was talking to brother somebody the other day, and they was telling about when they first started to preach, and they went to Brother Noah Broughton. They said, "Brother Noah, you got any advice for me?" And he said this. He said, "Don't be afraid of God." Now, not in the sense of fearing God. We ought to all fear God, but we oughtn't to be afraid of God. If God says step out, we ought to be willing to step out, because we got a big God tonight. Now, I want you to know that it was bad. If you think it's bad now, it's not bad now. But it was bad then. The Bible said that God had sent a great famine in the land. I'm telling you, it was bad. It was bad. It was bad. We don't know much about famine in our day. About the only famine we really see is what Amos talked about in Amos 8 and 11. He said there'd be a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. A lot of people read that wrong. It didn't say there'd be a famine of preaching of the word. It said there'd be a famine of hearing of the word. There's still plenty of good preachers in Glasgow and around the country tonight. But the problem is there's a famine of people hearing what God said. And so Amos said there'd be a famine of the word of God. Now, it was bad here. It was real bad here. In verse 25 of chapter 6, the Bible said it was a great famine. And the Bible said, "And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, about $50, and the fourth part of a calf of dove's dung for the 5 pieces of silver, about $4.50. In other words, it was bad. Amen. There was high inflation. We've got some high inflation today. Despite what the president says, Bidenomics is not working. Amen. It's working for them, but it ain't working for us. Amen. But the Bible said there was high inflation. They were selling a donkey's head for $50. You say, what's it going to do with that? I guess they're going to make donkey soup or something. When I went over to Jamaica the first time, and I'd never flew, and I was nervous about flying, I got my church to pray for me, and I know they did, because I had no fear while I was flying. There's 25 of us preachers, and we landed over there in Montego Bay, and ever who we was going to be staying with that week, they'd pick us up, and we wouldn't see each other for 11 days. We'd go up in the mountains, and the Lord blessed me. I was staying with old brother Williams, and he was a bishop over about 10 churches where we was going to be preaching. But brother Williams had 2 daughters in New York, and they were doctors. And so he knew what Americans like to eat. So I ate pretty good. Rest of them fellas up there was eating stuff like chicken claw soup and things like that. But I was eating pretty good there at Brother Williams's, and that was a blessing to me, amen. But there was inflation. Then the Bible says that the fourth part of dove's dung. I don't need to explain. I think you know what that is. It was so bad that they were selling dove's dung for $4.50. Not only was there inflation, but it was icky what was going on. Just think about eating dove's dung. Amen. Years ago, Brother Nathan and all of us went up to the Ark, and we took a trip up there and spent a day at the Ark. And Brother Nathan, he was kind of adventurous, and He would try things, you know, and he come back and said, here, try some of these. And he had a little box of chocolate-covered crickets, and he eat them all day long. I said, I ain't eating no bugs. Amen. I won't be eating no bugs. That's icky, amen. But they were eating worse. They were eating dove's dung, the Bible said. And then it was so inhumane, the Bible said, that the woman came to the king, verse 28, and the king said, what aileth thee? What's bothered you? And she answered, this woman said unto the king, give me thy son that we may eat him today, and we'll eat my son tomorrow. And so we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, give thy son that we may eat him. That's inhumane. That's cannibalism. They were eating each other's son. Amen. I tell you, if you was a kid in that day, I sure bet you was hoping you wasn't the fattest one. Amen. Because you going first, more than likely. Amen. But the Bible said they eat one, and when it come down time for the other, the Bible said that she wouldn't give of that son. Amen. But I want you to know that the Bible says that God Almighty tells us in His Word, it's one thing to die with cancer. It's another thing to die with diabetes. But the Bible said one of the worst deaths that there is to die in the book of Lamentations chapter 4, as the Bible said, is to die of hunger. The Bible said they that be slain with a sword are better than they that be slain with hunger. For these pine away, stricken through for want of the fruits of the land. I guess one of the worst things in all the world is to die of starvation. And millions do it around the world every day, no doubt. But you and I, we ought to stop right there. And thank God this morning. Our biggest problem after church today was deciding on where we was going to eat and what we was going to eat. Amen. I'm telling you, God's blessed us. And we ought to realize that. God's blessed us. I think for the gospel's reason. It ain't because our churches are so good and we're so good. That couldn't be it. But I think it's because America has been the breadbasket of the world. And America has been the missionary center of the world. And God has blessed us because of that. Well, but we see a famine in the land. Terrible time, terrible time. But you know what? In terrible times, it's good to take a chance on God. Amen. Terrible times, it's good to trust God. The Bible said there were four leopards. The Bible said in 2 Kings 7:3, and there were four leprous men at the entering end of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we enter into the city, then the famine is in the city. We shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we but die. This is the words of four leprous men. Now it'd be bad to be living in this time of famine, and it'd be terrible. But it'd be even worse to be living in this time of famine and be a leopard. Amen. You know what a leopard was. And they were people that was dying. They were people that was contagious. They were people that nobody else wanted to be around. And there's a famine in the land. And these men are leopards. Four leopards are found here in this story. Now these four leopards that we read about tonight in the Word of God, they make such a good picture of a sinner tonight. And I'm not going to go through all the ways that leprosy is like sin. You've heard that preached before. But I notice that these men are camping outside the gate. And every sinner that is not saved is outside the gate. Amen. That's where they're at. But I'm so glad that the Bible said in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, he suffered without the gate. I'm glad when we were outside the gate. I'm glad that our Savior was willing to come outside of the gate to where we were, thank God. I'm telling you, listen, they were camping outside of the gate. They were condemned by the law. The Bible said in Leviticus 13 and 11, the priest shall pronounce them unclean. The priest, the law, had pronounced them unclean. Just like every lost sinner, they're outside the gate. Just like every lost sinner, tonight they are condemned by the law. Jesus never did come to condemn the world. He said in John 3:17, I came not to condemn the world, but the world through me might be saved. Somebody said, that preacher, he condemned me last night. He don't have the power, amen. No, sir, I tell you, it's the Holy Ghost of God that reproves and convicts people tonight. And you see, Jesus did not come to condemn the world. You say, why? Because he's already condemned. Amen. We'd already become sinners by our sin. But what I like about these leopards, the Bible said, they said, why? That we sit here. Why sit we here? They said. You see, they contemplated their situation. I watched people 43 years just sit and die. Every pastor's watched people in their church just sit and die. You try to feed them, they won't eat. Try to lead them, they won't follow. And you just watch people just sit and die. Brother Caleb and Brother Briley, they went to a Timothy conference Thursday and Friday, and Brother Caleb was good enough to send me the messages, and I sat up to midnight and watched them. And I tell you, every preacher needs to see that message Alfred Willis preached over there at that Timothy conference. And boy, he said something that helped me at 11 o'clock at night. He said, most preachers, they feel like failures as leaders. They feel like they failed because their people won't follow. But he made this tremendous statement. He said, Moses, they say, had 600,000 people, possibly a million, and he only got two of them over into the promised land. In other words, what he's saying, that promised land is the victorious Christian life, and he only got two of them over in that victorious Christian life. And everybody sits around and dies and dries up. Amen. He said, don't forget that Paul was Demas' pastor and he went astray. And Jesus had 12 and they all went astray. Amen. You say, well, you're preaching that tonight before they do. That's good stuff. That helped this preacher. Amen. Just because your people don't follow don't mean you ain't leading right. Amen. The Bible said here that they were contemplating their situation. I wish somebody tonight would just take a few minutes and just contemplate their situation. They don't like where they're at. You don't have to stay there. There is a God in heaven. And I believe with all of my life, I believe this. I believe there's a God in heaven that's real, and I know you believe that. But I believe that God in heaven, I believe that he can reach down into a service like this and touch somebody's life and they'll never be the same again. You say, how do you know that? Because that's what happened to me one night, thank God. I'm glad there's a God in heaven. You say, I'm already saved. I ain't talking about being saved. I'm talking about getting a touch from God. I'm talking about something life-changing, amen. Brother Paul Davis sitting back there. I remember the night in Brotherhood Church, they had me preaching. And I preached out of 1 Samuel, where that the God told Samuel, he said, you've mourned long enough. Fill that horn with oil and go.
And God reached down and touched Paul Dason that night in that service. He might have been the only one who came to the altar. I know this. But I know his life has never been the same. You say, why? There's a God in heaven. You don't have to sit around a dead Baptist church and dry up. There's a God in heaven that's got power, that can do things, that can change your life. I realize there are situations tonight. People are dying. I realize there are situations tonight that people have terminal illnesses. And it may be a sickness unto death. Maybe God's will they go ahead and leave out of this world. But I tell you, God can help you. God can help you deal with that. God can help you to take that and use it for your good. Amen. God can take your mess and, as they say, turn it into a blessing. Amen. There is a God in heaven. And I'll tell you, in 2023, on August the 4th, on a Sunday night, we need to realize God is on the throne. There is a God in heaven. And somebody ought to give Him a chance tonight. Throw it all at His feet. That is God. He'll take your mess. Nobody else will, but God will take it. He delights in it. He begs you to bring it to Him. Show you what He can do. God can do it. Don't sit there outside the gate just waiting to die. Amen. Contemplate your situation. I'm going to try something different. Most people just sit around dying and never try nothing different. Try something different. Try 3 times a week church. Try scheduled praying every day. Try reading the Word of God. Try witnessing. Amen. We still door knock once a month. We door knock on a Saturday. We had 2 men here this morning. God knows we've knocked on about every door in Glasgow, Kentucky. We don't get them swarming in here. But every now and then, it's like this morning, these 2 come in and they say, "Where'd you came from?" They said, "A man named Riley gave me a track." Amen. I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven. And listen, we can't change all Glasgow, but if one person's life gets changed, it's worth it all. That's what I'm saying tonight. There were 4 lepers. Couldn't have been no worse. You say, "Preacher, you don't know my situation. I bet it ain't as bad as theirs was. I bet you're not a leopard." You see, the thing about being a leopard, they weren't even allowed to go to somebody's house and ask them if they had any food. They weren't even allowed to. They weren't even allowed to get close to anybody. They had to say, "Leopard, leopard," amen. They were outside the gate. If it's anything, it is inside the gate. It couldn't have been no worse. But they said, "Let's give God a chance." Oh, I'd like to see some families give God a chance. Amen. I know how my home was. I'm not proud of it. I'm not proud of it. My home's not perfect tonight. But boy, it sure looks different than it used to. Amen. It smells different. Refrigerator looks different. Man, my wife's relationship's different. You say, "Y'all don't never have no problems." Hey, we're married. We're married. We don't do much fighting no more. We used to, but we don't do much no more. You say, "Why?" We're 70 years old. We're tired. And she'll say, "Honey, I'm going to do this." I say, "Go ahead." I say, "Honey, I'll be back in about 2 hours. "All right, we'll see you in a couple days." Best way to get along, I told my son, he said, "What advice can you give me to help me in my marriage?" I said, "You let her do what she wants to do, and you do what you want to do, and both of you enjoy it." Amen. I'm talking about in the realm of not sinful. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, listen, I want you to know tonight that these men were 4 lepers, and they had it bad, but they were willing to give God a chance. What did they have to lose? What have you got to lose tonight? Nothing but some stuff you don't need. Look in verse 7. And the Bible said, let's start in verse 8. The Bible said, for the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise. These leopards are starting in town now. And I like this. These leopards are starting in town. And the Bible said the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and left their horses. Did you know that there's a God in heaven that can make people hear things that ain't there? There's a God in heaven that can make people see things that ain't there and withhold things that is there. We serve a mighty God tonight. And you know, the devil works like that too. The devil can make you hear things that wasn't said. That happens in Baptist churches all the time. And it's got a lot worse since social media. Because if Brother Dax, if he were to text me tonight and say something to me, and if I can look in his eyeballs, I know what he's meaning. I know what he's thinking. I know what he's saying. But if he sends it to me the other way, I may take it altogether different. That's the devil, amen. The devil works that way. He can make you hear things that ain't never been said. You know, God can preach a preacher like he is me tonight. And I'll be preaching it one way up here, but God will make you hear it some way back there. And people come out the door, Brother Paul, and they'll say, preacher, I'm so glad you preached on that. I needed that. And you wouldn't even thinking along that. You wouldn't even preaching that. It's kind of like Pentecost. God made every man to hear in his own language. God knows what you need to hear. And God can make you hear it in the way you need to hear it tonight. Amen. They saw, the Bible says they heard a noise of horses. Can you imagine the noise that they heard? Even the noise of a great host. Not just one, but a great host. It scared them away. God's able to take care of you. Years ago, we had a man in this church. He's a good man. He was real carnal, and he had a battle and fought alcohol, and he'd do all right for a while. And we had a Saturday night prayer meeting. We met right there in that room, prayed for about an hour. And while we was waiting for people to come in, we'd got done praying, and we walked out there to that door. And before you even got to the door, you could see blue lights. What in the world's going on? We all walked up to the door. They said, hey, there's police out there. They got some man down on the blacktop handcuffing him. I said, huh. They got him, they left. I walked in the house, my phone was ringing. It was that man's wife. She said, Brother Rick, are you okay? I said, well, I reckon. Just come out of prayer. Why? She said, my husband started over there to whoop you and to beat you up. It started to click. I realized that's who they had down on the asphalt. And he's turned off of here, coming up here to beat the preacher up. He started up the road and he wobbled a little bit and it just happened. To be a policeman coming up Kentucky Street. He throwed that light on, pulled him over, handcuffed him, took him down to the jail. Guess who the first person he called was? You only get one. He called the man he was coming to beat up. And he was drunk, couldn't hardly talk. And I said, look, brother, I can't help you tonight, but I'll be there in the morning. Amen. The next morning at 11 o'clock, we got out of church, and I was waiting over there for him when he got out. and he come out and fell on me a weeping and a crying. Amen. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying God is able to take the worst situation and turn it around for God's good. Amen. That's what I'm saying. You see, the Lord, when them old leopards, now you got to get this picture. You'll mess it if you're not careful. But Elisha's there, the gate. And most time them old prophets, you know, Jeremiah, them old prophets, when they got a word from the Lord, they'd go outside the gate or there on the temple steps. And they'd say, there's a word from the Lord. And here was Elisha out there, just outside the gate. And them old leopards are even further outside the gate. But they hear him say, hear ye the word of the Lord. He said, thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. You see, the Lord sent a word. The Lord always sends a word. If you got a man of God that prays, I said this morning, the worst thing in the world is to come before God's people with nothing to set before them. But in my Father's house is bread aplenty, and my job is to get my Father to give me some and then to give it to you, and your job is to receive it. But God never runs out of bread. Never does. Never a famine in God's land. And the Bible said, the Lord's word had been spoken. And old Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Now don't miss this. The Lord is a-watching. He's watching them four old leopards, Brother Marshall, outside the gate. He's listening to them as they talk, and he's watching them. And God says in Psalms 33:18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him and upon them that hope in his mercy. That's what they're doing. To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in the famine. God was a-watching over his word, amen. Did you know God watches over his word to perform his word? God's man has already said this. And so now God is watching over it to make sure it comes to pass. Not one jot or one tittle is going to fail. But you see, the Lord's ways are not always believed. The Bible said there was a Lord there. And he said, and the Lord, he made the host of Syrians to hear a noise of chariots. The Lord has a way. You say, what's God going to do? God ain't never at a loss to know what to do. And I could stand here for the next hour just telling you how God has come through in my life. And he would have come through a lot more if I believed he's a lot bigger. I don't have that much time left, but what time I got left, I want to believe in a bigger God. Amen. I want to believe in a God that's able to do more than what we're able to believe him for. And the Bible said, the Lord said, watch this. God's got his way. When you hear his word and you believe his word, don't never worry about how God's going to perform his word. He can do it because it's his word. So we see a famine. We see these four leopards that took a chance on God. We see that God caused a flight. These people fled. They just run away. Run away. One morning I'd preached up at the old building and preached pretty rough, I guess, that morning. And we had a lady that just started coming. She showed up on Wednesday night. And she come in the door and she said, the pastor said, we want to sing tonight. She had on a T-shirt that had some kind of slang or lingo on it that wasn't very good. I said, won't you two ladies step in my office a minute? They stepped in the office, and I said, ladies, I'm glad you want to sing. I appreciate you coming. But I said, we wouldn't let nobody get up on the platform to sing that looks like you do tonight. And I said, if you come back Wednesday night, we may talk about it a little bit more. She didn't show up Wednesday night, didn't show up Sunday morning. But on Sunday night, I'm leaving the house going to church, and my phone rings. I say hello. He said, yeah. He said, I'm the husband of that woman that you told couldn't sing. And he said, my wife can sing anywhere she wants to sing. I said, yes, sir. She can sing on the square. She can sing at the courthouse. She can sing out at Cracker Barrel. But she can't sing here. He said, you blankety blank SOB. He said, I know where your church is. I'll be waiting for you when you get there. And I'm coming to church and I'm standing up in the service. I'm telling the whole church what a hypocrite you are. I left the house expecting him to come. I said, sir, you go ahead and come, but I just want you to know one thing. If you interrupt and destroy my worship service, you will be going to jail.
Amen.
But I expected him to come in, and he never did come. You say, why? I don't know. I guess the Lord made him hear something. I guess the Lord made him think something. He never did come, and she never did come back. And it wasn't about, a few years ago, I was preaching revival at another church, and I walked in, lo and behold, there that woman sat on the front row. When she saw me, she went ballistic. She started calling things, and they had a good pastor's wife. She was sitting by her, and she grabbed her, and she said, you sit down. We don't talk about our evangelist like that. We don't talk about our preacher like that.
Amen.
Say, where's she at now? She's in Penn doing life. She cut a baby out of a woman down the other side of Bowling Green several years ago. While the woman was alive, she stunned her and cut the baby out of her and tried to act like it was her own. Yeah. Wicked. I know y'all look at us preachers sometimes and you say, y'all are mean, y'all are unkind. Now, you don't understand. Sometimes we're dealing with devils. God calls them to run. Amen. Amen. My people know this, but I use the three-ribbon system. The green ribbon means go. The yellow ribbon means tarry a while. The red, this is one you'll be looking for. It means stop. And I'm about done tonight. You'd be glad of that. But I want you to see, there were four leopards, there was a famine, and there was a flight caused. But the last thing we see is there was a failure regretted. You remember verse 2? Then a Lord whose hand the king leaned to answer the man of God and said, behold, if, you better circle that if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be. You see, his problem was our problem. His God was too little. He said, there ain't no way God could do this. There ain't no way that God could make windows in heaven. Honey, God can put pictures windows in heaven if he wants to. And just for your information, there's already some up there. And he said, if you would tithe, that God would open up the window and pour out upon you a blessing that your hearts couldn't contain. You say, I don't tithe. Why don't you give God a chance? I just tell people if they'll try it, they'll never go back.
Amen.
Don't be like that one guy come to me at work and he said, Brother Rick, said you lied. I said, I don't normally lie purposely. And I said, what do you mean? He said, you said if I'd start tithing, God would bless me. And I said, well, that's what the Word of God says. He said, well, it ain't happening. I said, how long you been tithing? He said, 2 weeks. He wanted a speedy return. Tithing don't work that way. God sends it when you need it. All right, here we go. This man, He did not believe the word of God. And I wonder what you and I are going to do when we get to heaven and God shows us what all we could have had if we had just believed Him. You see, it ain't how much of the Bible you know, it's how much you practice. The way you measure faith is by how much of that do you believe and practice, amen. That's how much faith you got. This man, don't you know he regretted it, boy. When they announced out, I can hear him announcing there and said, 2 measures of barley for a shekel, fine flour for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And his mind remembered what that preacher said. But he didn't believe God. You see, he's come down to the end here and he's regretting it. Listen, believe God now so you won't regret it then. Amen. Believe what God said about getting saved. He said He'd save you. Believe Him. Yeah. Believe what God said about tithing. We had a fellow come here not long ago, a few Sundays, Brother Richie. Got him to come. And he didn't come back. Brother Richie went to see him. He said, I ain't coming back. He said, that preacher talks too much about money. I talk less about money than any preacher you know, probably. I don't say a lot about money. But he said, I ain't coming back. That preacher talks too much about money. He said, by the way, have you got anything I can do to earn some money? He can talk about it, but I can't. Amen. The Bible said this man didn't believe God and it put him in a dangerous place. Verse 17, they appointed this Lord on whose hand the king lead to have charge over the gate. The last place you want to be when people ain't eat for weeks on end and they hear there's food inside. The last place you want to be is in charge of the gate. You say, why? Because they're charging the gate. That's what happened. When we don't believe God, it puts us in a dangerous place. He didn't believe God, and his partakings of the blessings of God was denied. You see, if you don't believe God, you'll never know what God can do. See, God had promised blessings, and God gave what He promised. But that man didn't get none of them. Say why he didn't believe what the Lord said. This man, the Bible said, the people trod on him and he died. And I'll bet you he regretted till he drawed his last breath not believing what that man of God said in verse 1. He's like the rich young ruler. As far as I know, if he died that way, I know he regretted not listening to Jesus. Amen. And if you're lost tonight and you die that way, you're going to regret not coming to the altar on this Sunday night and asking God to save you. Amen. I think about that reluctant servant, you know. He had a little, but he's afraid if he tried to do anything with it, he'd lose it. God looks for churches and people that invest His money. God don't want you to hoard it up and save it up. God wants you to invest it. Amen. Somebody said, where does God put His money? In the kind of churches that do something. Amen. Amen. That run buses through town, pick up kids, that start Christian schools, that do something for God. That's where God's going to put His money. He's not putting His money in these dead Baptist churches that's got $60,000 on a CD and 20 rent houses. God don't work that way. And see, I think over rejecting Felix, I think he died regretting that he waited for a more convenient time. And what I'm trying to say tonight, I ain't done too good at it, but I've tried. What I've tried to say is I wish somebody would take a chance on God. I wish somebody would just forget about what everybody else is telling them that can't be done and just come and get down there and say, God, I'm shutting them out. I've heard the word of the Lord. And Lord, if I don't do anything different, I'm going to die this way. And if I come and you don't do anything, Lord, then at least I tried. But you ain't never disappointed with God. He'll do something. Amen. It's not even true to say it the way I say it. You really don't even take a chance with God. You're guaranteed success, fulfillment, happiness in life if you'll trust God. I'm not saying you won't have no troubles and problems. You will. We all do. Hey, that's part of life. It's part of life. I said this morning that Paul talked a lot about things. And 28 times in the book of Philippians, Paul talks about things. And that's all that life is a bunch of things. Health things, money things, marriage things. That's all it is. But we serve a God that says we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. I'm praying your pastor's God will get bigger. My God's been too little. I want my God to get bigger and bigger and believe God for more and more and more because He's able. Father, I come to you tonight. I thank you for this message that you stirred my heart.